Did you have a nice Independence Day?
It was okay, but you were there, and I hate you.
No, we can't do that joke again.
Oh, okay. Try again. I'm just literally going off the top of my head.
I know. It's okay. You could ask me a question.
No. Do you have a nice Independence Day, AJ?
Yes.
Yeah, see, that's how good you are at this. This is why we ask me the improv questions. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for July 5th, 2012. We hope all you American-like folk had a good Independence Day. I don't know what it means to be American-like.
You're either American or you're not.
Whatever.
So, Americans, I hope you had a nice 4th of July. Non-Americans, hope you had a nice Wednesday. And to the British, ha!
Yeah, you suck. There should be more gloating with Independence Day, I think. Like, we celebrate, but we don't direct enough of it specifically at the English.
What's the point now? Hey, guys, remember back when?
Remember when you guys were a world power?
The sun never sets on the British Empire. Not.
Lol, 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 lol. Yeah. That's kind of exactly what I want. All right. So we've got news. Lots of news, actually. Extended news segment. Yeah. So then after that, we'll just go straight into what we've been playing and the releases. And I think that'll be the show.
Okay.
Should be enough. So let's get going.
Okay. So first of all, Nintendo confirmed that along with the 3DS XL, there will be a Circle Pad Pro XL released later this year as well.
It's going to be big. I still don't understand why there wasn't just a...
I know. Like, if you have... I mean, irrespective of the fact that it's an optional accessory, if you're going in and doing a pretty radical redesign of the hardware, why'd you be like, oh, let's redesign the accessory. No, let's just put it in. I guess we really need that $20.
I guess the fear is that, you know, if you do that, then maybe a developer will start saying, like, well, we're going to design our game to only be able to work like that, and if you don't have a second analog nub, so if you only have the original 3DS without the thing, you can't play it. That's what they're afraid of.
Buy the damn thing for $20, and it makes them money. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's what they don't want.
It's stupid.
I mean, it's kind of just the big problem is that they didn't do it in the first place.
And I'm sick of the argument, like, oh, well, not a lot of games use it. Yeah, only Resident Evil, Metal Gear Solid, Kingdom Hearts, and Monster Hunter.
Yeah, a lot of the biggest games use it. That argument is invalid.
Yeah. But you can, without two analog sticks, play Pokemon Black and White version 2 when it launches October 7th.
Oh, that's for the DS anyway, so.
Yeah, well, I guess they're going to release a new version of the 3DS Pokedex that'll interface with the game.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
I never got that Pokedex. Have you used it ever?
I got it. I never really used it much. Like, well, because it came out after I played the games. So I didn't really need
it. You just get, like, a new Pokemon every day, I guess? I don't know.
It's weird.
Not, it's not really exactly useful. Like, you have to unlock everything somehow.
Well, because they want to try to make it gamey, where it should have just been more, like,
but it's not. Useful. I don't know what I'm doing to get these new Pokemon I'm getting. It just seems random.
I don't really understand what Pokemon Black and White 2 is yet.
I don't either. I think it's just like, well, we're not ready to make one for the 3DS yet. We're out of ideas for the DS.
Yeah, but I mean, is it literally like, is it the same region?
I think.
So you go through the same places. Is it the same starter Pokemon?
I don't know.
Like, is it, I'm confused. I need to check stuff out.
I'll ask a question and I know you can answer this with a yes. Are you going to buy it?
Yeah.
See, that's why it doesn't matter.
Well, Pokemon Black and White were pretty fantastic. So, yeah, sure. I'm getting it.
In August, Hero Academy is coming to the PC. Released via Steam, and if you get it on Steam, you get a Team Fortress 2 team.
That's fun.
Yeah, and all the purchases unlock both ways. So if you bought, like, the dwarves on the iPhone, you'll get it on Steam. And if you get the Steam one, you get the TF2 team on your phone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I was about to ask.
Yeah,
that's
excited for this.
Are they really going to have 9 different units for them, then?
I don't know.
That's a lot of units for Hero Academy.
I don't know how they're handling it exactly. They haven't said pricing yet. I mean, I assume you'll pay something for the Steam version. Can't be much.
Yeah.
So this was crazy town. Gaikai, the game streaming service headed up by David Perry, has been purchased by Sony.
Right, and so this is kind of like an online competitor.
Yes, it's a direct competitor with online.
And the interesting thing is that Sony had, like, some sort of device coming out that was going to have online in it.
It was their next Google TV box,
right,
basically.
And now it's not having online.
It's going to probably have Gaikai.
Right.
Now, people are wondering, does this go into the PS4? Like, what does this mean? Like, that Sony bought an online game streaming platform.
I don't understand. Like, how necessary would an online game streaming platform be inside a console, though? Because the whole point of it supposedly is that, well,
but then
your machine's not powerful enough to run this stuff, so you can do it somewhere else. If you're in a game, if you're in the PS4, supposedly that's pretty powerful.
Well, then you begin to introduce the idea of hardware as service, where the idea of a PlayStation 4 melts away. Just whenever they want, they can upgrade the hardware in the back end, and new games can take advantage of the additional
power. I feel
like
they wouldn't want to do that, because then they can't sell new hardware.
Well, that's the thing, is it's the notion that we're moving away from buying hardware.
Well, I don't know if I buy it yet.
What's odd is, I guess some former deals are still in place, so Gaikai is coming to, like, Samsung smart TVs and things like that.
Mm-hmm. I've never tried Gaikai. I don't know how it works. Its name.
I don't think I've used Gaikai. I mean, OnLive works pretty well.
Like, what is the support like? Like, what games are on Gaikai?
Well, Gaikai never really did like what OnLive did and made like an app with a storefront and games you bought. It was always about like, hey, developer or publisher X, you can put the demo for your game like in the website as a plugin, or you could share the first level of your game on Facebook. Things like that.
It'll be interesting.
Yes. Again, talking about services and gaming, Battlefield Premium managed to get 800,000 subscribers in 2 weeks. This is their kind
now,
of Call of Duty Elite.
I still don't understand what Call of Duty Elite is.
Well, Call of Duty Elite's a little bit more of, like, in addition to maps and stuff, there's also some stat tracking and some extra apps and things like that. I mean, Battlefield Premium is basically annual pass for DLC. There's not much more to it than that. But the supposition now is that since this has proven pretty successful, you're going to see a lot more of this stuff.
Well, because it's pure profit for these guys.
Right. You're basically pre-ordering the promise of DLC.
Yeah. Where it's like with a game, like, you know, they have to like kind of, there's a lot of cost that goes into that. With this, I mean, there's a cost of making that content, I guess. But
right.
Besides
you're
that,
getting all that money up front, too.
Right. Pretty intense.
And if you're going to buy all that content anyway, it's a fine deal.
I guess.
Seth Killian landed on his feet. Santa Monica, Sony Santa Monica. He's working on PlayStation All-Stars, a fighting game.
It's weird because he comes from a very traditional fighting game background.
Yeah.
Like with Street Fighter 4, Marvel's Capcom, and Street Fighter versus Tekken or whatever, Cross Tekken, God. But PlayStation All-Stars is not a traditional fighter at all.
No.
Very different.
Maybe it'll benefit from his input.
Well, I'm not saying it's a problem that it's a non-traditional fighter, though.
You find it an odd move?
Yeah.
Maybe he wants something different, but he didn't want to completely leave fighting
games.
Well,
from what I understand, he has a larger role, because he's like lead designer or something. That's his title.
Seems like it's pretty late to be bringing on a new lead designer in that game.
I don't think he's a lead designer for that game, but that is his title.
Really?
Because that's what he's... I think that's what his complaint was, that Capcom is more a community guy, and he wanted to design more.
Huh.
I think that's
maybe
what I'm getting.
Maybe they've got something bigger in the pipe.
But I don't know. I mean, it's like... The mechanics already seemed like they were about in place for that game, so I don't know what he can contribute. All they need now is maybe balancing and more characters.
Right, and that might be where his expertise is.
Balancing, yeah. They could probably use him at Super Smash Bros. Oh, is that your next story? That'd be a good lead.
Let's make it that. Yeah. So, what's his name? Sakurai?
Yeah, Sakurai, the Kirby guy and Smash Bros. Guy.
He's like, well, there's probably not going to be like more characters in the new Smash Brothers, because when does it end? Saying like, we can't just have 50 characters because it's impossible to balance them all.
That makes no sense.
You know what I never understood? There's basically four moves in the game.
Well, no.
I know, I'm oversimplifying it. But still, my point is, it's not dead or alive. Or virtual.
My problem is that Brawl is... I mean, all of the games have already been incredibly unbalanced.
Yeah.
So that's never
There's that, yeah.
So it's like for him to say, like, oh, we can't have more characters, because then the game will be unbalanced. Okay.
Well, it's just like,
I mean, look, but for him to say, don't expect new characters, that is the one and only thing people will and are going to expect. No matter what. If you do not have new characters in the next Smash Bros. Game, there is no goddamn point to it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the point, right?
Well, I mean, I guess this one will at least be HD and maybe actually good online play, which
but
is
I mean,
what we said last time. But
even still, like, even if you get, if it's like, oh, we don't want the roster too big, then get rid of some characters and add new ones. That's what they did for Brawl to Melee to Brawl.
Yeah, like, I don't need Starwolf in this one. Don't worry about him.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, yeah, there's plenty of characters you can leave. You can leave out Starwolf. You don't need, like, Ike again. Like that's what they did last time. Like, okay, we'll get rid of this Fire Emblem character and put this one instead. We don't need Dr. Mario. We'll get this, you know. There's a lot of clones. Like, Lucario, it was cute that he was in Brawl, but we don't need him back. There's a lot of characters like that.
Yeah.
But even still, the roster size should be bigger.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you're not getting close to some of the biggest, like Marvel vs. Capcom 3, especially the Ultimate version, still has more characters. It's far closer to being balanced than Smash Bros.
Like the difficulty of balancing that game, like everyone's like, oh, don't play Sonic, he's terrible. Well, why? Well, he doesn't have any good Smash attacks that knock people off the stage. Why didn't they just make one of his attacks and knock people off the stage then? Like,
yeah, they have no idea what
they're doing.
It
doesn't seem like it's that hard like, when to you me, play it, like, compared to other fighting games.
It seems like it would be a very easy thing where, like, okay, if a character is slow, you have to make him stronger or so on. But then you have characters like Meta Knight, who are incredibly fast, they can fly, and they have incredibly strong smash attacks and very high damage-dealing special moves. To the point where he's banned from tournaments, because it makes no sense. Like, why is this character so good?
Yeah.
For him to even talk, because I always assumed his thing was he didn't care about balance. Like, to him, I always assume that he thinks that you should play Smash Bros. With all the items on and all the stupid stages with too much shit going on.
Yeah.
For him to suddenly be concerned about balance and using it as an excuse to not make new content for their sequel is blowing my mind. Like, look, like I said, that's the only thing people care about is new characters.
Yep.
The only goddamn thing. If you don't have new characters, you're done.
Like, I know you guys talk about these people who play it in tournaments and it's only final deaths, 3-stock, no items, with a certain... That's whittled down do. Roster of characters you're allowed to play as. That is a very small percentage of the people who buy this game, I promise you.
Well, I like that. But even still, those people are still far more interested. Those people are still interested.
The no matter what
characters are new.
No matter what game you release, though, even if it is unbalanced, those people will still say, okay, Final Dest, here's the characters who are allowed.
To be honest, a lot of those people just play Melee instead of Brawl now.
Well, that's true.
So,
well, that's because they didn't like tripping.
Well, God, if tripping's bad, I'm just going to throw my hands in the air and go, why? But, I mean, I kind of understand there aren't really a whole lot of characters left to include. I think it's a problem, too, that Nintendo has not really created a significant new character in the last console generation.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
Like, who are you going to put in there? The Wii Fit board?
Yeah. But, I mean, there's still... Little Mac is really the only glaring one anymore.
You could have a Mii in there, I guess.
Yeah, so that's stupid. I don't want that. Maybe you can just give in to fan demand and put Geno from Mario RPG in there. Paper Mario would be kind of a fun character. Paper Mario, yeah.
He'd basically kind of a take on Game
but
& Watch.
Besides that, there's a lot of characters who could use updated moves. Like, some characters have moves that make no sense. Like, Luigi's forward and A is like that weird missile thing. Like, make that something with the vacuum.
Yeah. Look how obvious is that?
Right,
come on.
Something
again, I know I'm talking on my ass, but I feel like those games aren't that hard to come up with.
Well, all right, what's next?
EA seems to think that they're going to be 100% digital in a few years.
No, they're not. EA?
Yeah.
So,
let me see the exact
I don't understand.
Is.
A few years?
Hang on.
So they won't sell copies of their games at stores anymore.
It's in the near future. It's coming. We have a clear line of sight in it, and we're excited about it. Retail is a great channel for us. We have a great relationship with our partners there. At the same time, the ultimate relationship is the connection that we have with the gamer.
Well, about half of game sales are still retail. Now, I say sales, I mean, that includes DLC and a lot of things. So when it comes to actually buying a game, it's still largely happening at game stores. So I don't think 3 years we're going to suddenly get there. Maybe we will, but a few years, that's a little crazy.
I mean, the fact that I'm going to I probably will buy it this way. Like, but when New Super Mario Bros. 2 comes out for 3DS, I can download it.
Yeah.
That Nintendo is doing it. I guess that's a sign that it is the beginning of the end.
Right.
When Nintendo's on board.
Exactly.
Let's see. Let's not talk about that after all.
What was it? I'm curious.
Call of Duty Online free-to-play game coming out in China.
Yeah, there whatever.
PlayStation 1 classics are finally coming to the Vita when firmware 1.8 comes out, whenever that may be. They're still, like, not quite clear if it's, like, all the games or some of the games or what's going on because it's Sony and they don't like to tell us things.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be cool. A lot of good RPGs from there.
Yeah.
I feel like those would be the best suited to play on your Vita. Besides that, I don't know how many, like, PlayStation 1 games I absolutely love. I guess you have Metal Gear Solid 1, but besides that...
That's true.
A lot of those games just kind of aged weird, you know?
Yeah, that's true. What was that early 3D era still?
Yeah.
Have you seen the redesign of Chuck E. Cheese yet?
No.
All right, here, let me bring some horror into your life.
What happened to Chuck E. Cheese?
So he's now a CG animated rat, looking more like a rat than ever. He kind of looks like a dick, if I have to say
so
myself.
Yeah, he looks kind of mean. I think it's those bushy eyebrows.
Yeah, so he's now a hip electric guitar playing rock star, because that's what the kids love these days. Still in his 90s green and purple shirt. He just got rid of the skate gear.
So are they redesigning his like his entire band?
I don't know.
Do they have to put new animatronics in it all?
I guess so.
It's going to be expensive.
The other thing that really sucks is that apparently Duncan Brannon, who's the voice of Chucky, has been the voice for 20 years, found out he was replaced when he heard the new voice online.
Right.
They didn't even have the dignity to tell him, like, yeah, we're going in a different direction.
Not dignity.
Whatever. Another revamp of sorts. Final Fantasy VII PC. Confirmed.
But it's just fun. It's just the PC version of Final
Right.
Fantasy
VII. With cloud saves.
Lol.
Yes, everyone's... Achievements. And they haven't said if it's microtransaction or not, but I'm assuming it is, where you get to boost all your stats to max.
That's ridiculous.
Here's what I find more ridiculous.
What?
Everyone thought that, like, when this rumor first came out, there was Steam. It's not.
Yeah, it's just,
they're selling it directly themselves.
Right.
So why... This is what I don't get. What are the achievements tied to? They're just achievements for the sake of achievement?
The game. Yeah, a lot of people are doing stuff like that. Theater Rhythm has achievements just like that.
Yeah, it's just because Nintendo didn't make a unified system.
Right. So, it is what it is.
Do you think this will really hit?
It's Final Fantasy VII. There's a lot of people who just buy it because it's Final Fantasy VII. I don't know. I don't know why. I would rather just buy, like, the PlayStation Store version ahead and play it on my Vita or something.
Yeah.
Have it on my PC.
Yeah.
Especially if it's not any different.
Right.
I'm more concerned about this whole notion, like, oh, pay money and have your stats increase. That is the game, is increasing your stats. Like, grinding
but
and increasing
Michael,
stats.
The epic story
Nah, the story sucks. The story's not that good. But playing Final Fantasy VII's fun.
This is interesting. Wada said that if they were ever to do this remake of Final Fantasy VII that everyone says they want, it would be an admission that they've never made a game better than Final Fantasy VII, and that the series would basically be finished at that point.
I just don't understand what does that mean.
Isn't this an admission that they've never made a game better
but
than Final Fantasy
VII? They've remade other games. I don't get it. They remade the other Final Fantasies.
I don't know why they're afraid of money. I really don't.
They remade 4. It wasn't an admission that was the best. They've made better Final Fantasies since 7. I mean, I'm not saying 7, like, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, 7's overrated or whatever, but there's better Final Fantasies than it afterwards. I have no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like he's come up with this bizarre excuse to not do the remake. I'm not even saying I would care that much if they did the remake. It's like, whatever. But clearly you would make a lot of money doing it.
Even at this point, farm it out. Who cares?
Yeah, honestly.
It's going to make a shit bazillion dollars.
Our Silicon Knights isn't busy.
Yeah.
Did a big up job with Metal Gear Solid, so hey.
Yeah, that was good. It was.
What does that mean? It's an admission. Is that what everyone's going to say? Like, the average consumer's like, oh,
well,
cool.
I finished this. I'm done.
No. It was like the average consumer's going to go, oh, look, they remade Final Fantasy VII. I guess that Square Enix is admitting it's the best one. I guess this series is over now. What? What is this?
It's not like I was like, oh, Final Fantasy IV remade for the DS. That's the best one, I guess. They're finished. I don't know. If it wasn't the fact that they have a history of remaking so many Final Fantasy games and doing spinoffs and bullshit... Like, you remember that old Final Fantasy? They had a name for it when they, like, did all these Final Fantasy VII spinoffs.
Yeah, the compilation of Final Fantasy VII. Or something like that.
Oh, no, 13 had the weird
name. 13 has the Fabula Crystallis Novalis or whatever.
Yeah, but I mean,
Final Fantasy had
it's
a name
like
also.
You haven't been afraid to milk this franchise dry in the past.
Right.
Why is this the one that scares them? I don't get it.
I have no idea.
Like, I'm not sitting here myself clamoring for the remake, but now I just want it in spite of them. Just be like, stop being dumb.
Just remake the goddamn game.
Yeah. You got this damn engine you spent 800 years on that you made a game and a spinoff sequel to. Use it. Come on.
Yeah, how like very soon that engine's going to be like outdated.
Yeah.
And no good. And they'll have made 2 games out of it.
I bet they could get it
Although
done
there's
before
rumors,
Final Fantasy 13 Versus.
There's rumors that they want to make a Final Fantasy 13 3.
Mm. Yeah, apparently the ending of 13 2 is like a big cliffhanger. And then the DLC just made the cliffhanger worse. I don't know if cliffhanger is a word, but I guess it doesn't finish anything.
That's weird.
Yeah.
So we need more of that.
People fucking
like I
love
said,
that game.
Well, because... Well, it's not like 13 2 is poorly received. It was like, what, an 8...
Yeah, but
I haven't played it yet. Maybe I'll get to it someday, but I'm so busy. I'm so busy for an 8 or a 30-hour game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Here, you'll have time for this, I guess. Marvel versus Capcom Origins is a thing. It's the, hang on, it's the original Marvel vs. Capcom and, what's it called? Marvel Super Heroes, I guess.
Right, which was the game before it.
$15 online play, boop-de-doo.
It's kind of weird, because, I don't know, nobody really had the nostalgia for these games that they did for Marvel vs. Capcom.
Yeah, Marvel's really more like a historic curiosity, but I mean, yeah, MVC 2 is clearly...
the better one.
Yeah, like...
These games, like... literally what they were doing for a long time was they were just taking the sprites and moves from other games and mashing them together. Because it was all in the same engine, they could do it.
Yeah.
That's why when you play Marvel vs. Capcom 2, like, some sprites look like... Look like the Darkstalker sprites look horrible. And then you have, like, ones that are made for that game, they look pretty good.
Yeah.
It's literally like, yeah, we'll just take the assets.
Yep.
So this you're playing just... You're literally just...
a fan hack done at Capcom.
Yeah, kind of. So I don't get the point of this, but hey, there it is.
But a more exciting... release announced today for the game's 16th birthday, which is today.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's cute.
Nights into Dreams HD coming this fall. XBLA, PSN, and Steam.
Thank God.
Now, this was funny because the other day they released a teaser image that was quickly identified as being from Nights. And this is what I said to you. I said, now, it'd be nice to think that they're going to remake Nights in HD, but clearly they're just going to make, like, this is a track in Sonic All-Stars Racing, too.
That's immediately what I
said. No, we were pleasantly wrong.
For once, yeah.
So it's going to come out, full HD remake, you know, new models. It looked like from the trailer, even, like, the enemies who are just kind of 2D sprites are actually 3D now, stuff like that. Plus, still a mode to play the original Saturn version, which is awesome.
Yeah, this is exciting. I love
that. Also very exciting to me is Joystick asked them, well, what about Christmas Nights? They said, we have nothing to say about that
yet.
Please.
You know that'll be coming Christmas time.
I loved Christmas Nights so much.
That'd be so easy for them to do at Christmas time. What, do we have a release date for this?
Fall. Oh. People are still like, oh, don't announce anything else until you at least give us a date for Jet Set Radio HD. No! Announce this now!
Heck with that! Heck with Jet Set Radio! Nights! Oh, I love Nights, and I've missed Nights. We haven't really had anything Nights since that bad sequel.
Well, they did that awful Wii game. That's what I hated, too. It's like, well, you said you wanted a Nights sequel. Well,
let me specify!
I'm sorry, let me be a little more specific, Sega. Can you please make a good sequel to Nights? Not some crap game where Nights sounds like a weird...
Yeah. Not done in this
male thing right. That...
done in the style of the modern Sonic games.
Yeah,
no, but no. This is the one time I'm glad they're doing an HD remake and not a new game.
Yeah,
because if it was a new,
if it was a new game, they could just fuck.
Yeah,
it up.
Yeah, they would just ruin it again. So, but this time,
be fantastic.
I know that Knights is good.
Yes.
So yeah,
yay,
great soundtrack.
So
oh, this would be great. It would be good for people who never had a Saturn and couldn't play Knights. You are in for a treat.
Yay.
Next.
All right. Well, it's time to talk about the Ryan Perez thing.
It's so amusing to me that he's a news story.
Well, you know him, so you could set us up.
I don't know. I wrote with him at Bitmob, and he was always a divisive guy. Like, you know, he kind of... Oddly enough, he kind of admired, like, Jim Sterling in that, you know? He liked those people who were kind of... a little
like
edgy, yeah, and you know, a little like you know, they don't care who they insult or whatever, like that. So basically, and he had a Twitter account with like 50 followers, and he said, "Who is Felicia Day? Why does she matter?" Then she like messaged her a couple times, like, you know, who are you? Blah blah blah. Are you just a glorified booth babe? Then some big Twitter person like told Will Wheaton. Then Will Wheaton went off.
Veronica Belmont.
Yeah. Who is that, anyways?
Hang on. I know this one. I think she was on G4. Oh, shoot. I'm screwing myself
okay.
up.
Okay. Well, if you don't know, don't worry
about
it.
I'm going to double check, though, because it's bothering me.
But she told Will Wheaton. So then Will Wheaton went on. Because Will Wheaton's friends with Felicia Day. So Will Wheaton went on a big rant and basically demanded that they fired Ryan Perez. Although, you know, I don't think Will Wheaton or all these other people had any idea, like, you know, Destructoid does not pay Ryan Perez.
Yeah. Real quick, she was on Core, that PlayStation 3 video thing, and now she's on Rev 3.
Okay.
I knew it was some nice video thing.
But, so, you know, this went into a big shit under his giant pitchforks. Destructoid disowned him. Then they, you know, they broke ties, if you were. I don't know if they let go. Ryan says it was his idea. I'm sure it would have happened anyways, but yeah. So he does not write for Destructoid anymore. Then after that, once he had nothing to lose, and he started ranting more, he started yelling at Will Wheaton and stuff. So, but that's basically what happened.
Yes.
I still hold that what he originally said was not that offensive. And I understand why, you know, here's what happened is that Felicia Day is a giant internet personality with 2 million followers, many of which cross over to Destructoid. So it was never like, oh no, you were mean to Felicia Day, how inconsiderate of you, we had to fire you. It's, oh no, you've angered Felicia Day's fan base. Mm-hmm. So, and we want them to keep reading and like Destructoid, so we have to distance ourselves from you. That's what happened.
Yeah.
And I get mad when people try to make it this thing like, oh, don't be mean to Felicia Day. This is what you get for being a jerk. People are jerks all the time. There are professional jerks in the industry. Jim Sterling among them. People who've made their name doing this stuff.
Yeah, but I would contend that the guys who are, as you put it, are the professional jerks, their jerkiness has always had some kind of context. Like someone like after David Jaffe's example, because you have a little dialogue with
him.
Yeah, man. Like, after he comes out in, like, a Playboy interview and says something, and people are like, oh, you're being a dick or something. That's one thing. But the fact that he, out of the blue with no provocation...
Well, the provocation was that he thought she was overrated, I assume. Although he claims that...
I mean, that's irrespective of anything. I mean, by his own admission, he was drunk and just decided to start tweeting.
Sure.
That's never a good idea.
No.
Then what I also find comical about it is... He thought by putting the at Felicia Day thing, it was a like a direct message.
Oh, well, he said he was new to Twitter.
That's the only thing. That's the only reason that got him in trouble. If he didn't do that, no one would have ever noticed. Unless someone was like searching Twitter for Felicia Day.
But I still hold that. What you know, we can say. He represents Destructoid, whatever. So he has to be fired. I still don't think he did anything wrong in the sense of right and wrong. I don't think he did anything all that wrong.
Yeah,
he didn't use like swear words or derogatory terms. I'm sure Felicia Day must hear worse from people with more than 50 followers on a regular basis.
Well, I think again for a quote unquote professional to call out someone and say you're just a booth babe.
See, it bothers.
I know you don't find that offensive, but I'm sure
booth babe's not an offensive term.
Huh?
Booth babes are working people; they're not second class citizens.
Mike, I would challenge you to send a tweet to Lee Alexander out of the blue that says you're just a glorified booth.
But she's not glorified; she's a journalist.
I know, but that's my point. I feel a female working in this industry in any facet of it who isn't a model hired by some company and she doesn't care about video games, if she's someone working in the industry and you said you're just a booth babe, they would take great offense to that.
Well, because you're saying that they're not as important as they are or that their work doesn't matter.
Well, yeah.
Well, basically, when you're saying that they're just eye candy.
Yeah. That's degrading.
Yeah, sure. I can see why you would say that about Felicia Day, almost.
See, I also think you don't give Felicia Day enough credit.
No, I don't. I don't get it. I don't get her. And
well,
I said
you don't,
it before.
Have you ever watched The Guild?
No.
Well, exactly.
Okay, but still,
it's a 5-season running
all
series.
Right. Oh, it's a web series.
So you make your living on the web. That's where she makes her living.
I'm just saying. Is she a celebrity then? In which case, celebrities are always getting unjustly criticized. So what's the big deal? Or is she just a normal person, and it's mean to say these things to her? It's like people aren't making this distinction, and it's bothering me. She can't be the girl next door and this mega celebrity at the same time. Yeah, don't roll
no,
your
I'm trying
eyes
to think of how to illustrate what I want to say. I'm trying to... See, it's...
Do you think if Felicia Day was a guy and Ryan Perez said mean things to him out of nowhere, and let's say, what if Ryan Perez said mean things about Will Wheaton out of nowhere? Do you think it would have gone into trouble?
Probably only because Will Wheaton would have fought back, like, hard.
Maybe, yeah.
He's not one to suffer fools lightly.
Well, okay. That whole thing was kind of unsettling, too, for Will Wheaton to go and demand that somebody be fired.
Yeah, I wonder if, like, when Will Wheaton said what he said, he realized, like, I'm now going to get this guy fired.
Well, he basically demanded that.
Yeah.
I think he knew exactly what he was doing. But that's the other thing that bothers me, is that this guy who basically wrote free content for Destructoid... Well, they, in my opinion, unjustly did not pay him for it. And while, meantime, they're like, they're doing news posts, but look, check out our new Mr. Destructoid head. It's got flashing lights. How much did that cost them? They can't pay their fucking writers?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. I don't think anyone realizes that.
No one does.
I feel like if Ryan Price wanted to be a dick and a little bit more justified one, he could be like, fine, they didn't pay me anyway.
Oh, but he's not offering that to anybody. He doesn't ask him about that. He could play that trump card. Because he likes Destructoid. And he legitimately does not want Destructoid to be reflected poorly for this.
Yeah. Which is something to say for him.
Yeah, but But, I mean, that kind of pisses me off, like, this whole thing. Like, oh, we're treating him like a professional. Well, he's a professional. Fucking pay him like one.
Right.
You want to throw him under the bus like a professional? You want to punish him like a professional? You want to go after him with the pitchforks and the mob and all that stuff? Because he's a professional. He's affiliated with this professional website. But then, you know, all his work is for nothing.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. That's my problem with this. This whole, like, pitchfork, like, oh, this guy just did career suicide. Well, what career?
Exactly. Well, I mean, you could say he was trying to get his career started and just tripped on the first step. But I am a little upset that Destructoid completely buckled and had done nothing for him. Now, we don't know what private conversations took place. But you think they could have said, like, I don't know, hey, man, lay low for a little while. Don't say anything. Let this blow over. Everything's fine.
I mean, just so many things. And, like, the entire staff of Destructoid 2 was so quick to just throw him under the bus.
No, really?
Like, I just, like, all their things. Like, yeah, go, he's gone. They all retweeted the message. Like, we cut ties with Perez. Like, yeah. Like, Christ, guys. Like, he was hanging out with them at E3 not too long ago.
Yeah.
Like, they knew him personally. And it's like, yeah, good. And he's a nice guy in person. I know people don't really care, but I'll just say. Like,
yeah.
The whole thing was just weird. Like I said, like, Jim Sterling, I know he was, like, provoked into it, but, like, one time he went on that rant where he called a girl, like, a cunt and said to ask your husband for permission to use the internet. Like, actually offensive thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you could say it was in defense or not, but still. It's, you know, and part of it is because...
I feel like that's another sad truth. Maybe it's once you've become established, right, then you can be mean.
And I understand there's sad truths and why these things happen, but like I said, just don't tell me it's because, you know, oh, he was a jerk. And mean people shouldn't be allowed to have jobs or whatever. And yeah, I don't get Felicia Day. I admit that. Well, that's what scares me about it, though, to be honest, because I don't get Felicia Day. And what if I decide to say on Twitter, like, oh, yeah, I don't like Felicia Day? Like, what, am I going to be fired?
I don't know.
Like, that's why I don't get it.
I think what made it worse was that it was completely out of the blue. And it came off as an attack.
Well,
it's not like...
There must have been something. I'm sure one of his friends...
But there was no context. If he would have said, just watch the first episode of The Guild, I don't really get it. I didn't like Felicia Day in it. That's something else entirely. But to just out of
it's
the
still
blue...
just not... The initial thing did not seem that bad. Like, when I first heard, like, oh, Ryan Perez said horrible things about Felicia Day, I'm like, oh, no, he must have written a really mean article.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a tweet. Oh, that's all he said.
Well, I guess we should say he said on his Twitter account he's going to let things cool down for about a week, then make a video piece regarding everything.
Really?
Yeah, should be interesting, I guess. He went from 50 Twitter followers to 2,300.
Yeah.
His exposure's through the roof, right?
It's great because he retweets some of my comics. It's great for me.
Yeah, he retweeted the Year 4th of the comic, actually.
It's just all weird. Like I said, the thing that upsets me is just the whole him not being... Because when he told me that the first time, I was mad about it. Like, Destructoid can't afford to pay their goddamn writers. So Destructoid.
Yeah, you told me that after E3.
I told you, yeah, before this all happened.
And I was shocked to hear that, because you think, like, the big three gaming blogs, and you think... Kotaku, Joystick, Destructoid.
No, but he's not like, I don't know, he wasn't necessarily always a regular writer, but he was writing articles for them. So on a freelance basis, he should be paid a flat fee for that.
Yeah.
Destructoid does the same thing too, where they have like, they ask their community to write blogs and they just take those and put them on the front page. It's like, how can we get more free content we don't have to pay for?
Yeah, that blew my mind when you told me that. Mm-hmm.
And I know I came from a site where there's obviously a lot of free content being written, but that was the whole point of it.
That was the basis. I mean, Destructoid doesn't make that a very clear thing.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, the whole thing just angers me for a few reasons. And again, I understand why he was fired. And I'm not saying what he said was nice. And obviously, I would never. I think people who know me know that I wouldn't do things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think. I think at the end of the day, I wish we were all kind of just adults and said, okay, he has this opinion, and he's a little mean, but we can brush it off. Especially, ultimately, I feel like Felicia Day could have just been like, okay, so what? So you were a little mean, maybe even a little sexist. Okay, so what?
Well, I feel like that's kind of what she did. She accepted his apology, and that was really all she said on the matter.
Yeah, I wonder how upset she actually was about it.
I don't know.
Like I said, it became a giant issue because Will Wheaton really was the one who was like, I'm furious.
Yeah.
Like, okay. that like people are like, oh, what do you mean she has nothing to do with the industry? She voiced minor characters in video games. I'm like, okay, all right, let's move on, because like I keep worrying the more I talk about this, somehow I'm going to get like fired. Like, even though I know I'm not doing anything wrong, but I keep worrying like the hitmen are going to get me.
Yes. All right, what we should do, because I keep forgetting to do this and I feel super bad. Damien I'm sorry, dude. I can't say your last name. Anafowoken. I'll go with Anafowoken. He's been commenting on our Facebook page very diligently, and I keep forgetting to go to it. So I wanted to make sure I got his comment this week on the show. He talks about what we were saying about Diablo 3 last week a bit, so let's talk about it. He says, heard you guys are a little upset about the nonsense going on in Diablo 3. I just thought I'd take this moment to once again remind you gentlemen of the reason for my pre-order for Torchlight 2 looks better and better every day.
Because we're heavily critical of Torchlight 2, or why people were excited about it.
Yeah. You know, he goes on, you pay Blizzard for your product, and they treat you like a criminal for 3 days. You pay Runic for their game, and they give you another game for free. Did I mention that their game only costs $20? I'll happily admit that Diablo 3 is a superior product, but the hassle they put you through with the single player and not really single player, always on connection, real money auction house, probation period, compromised drops game is just too much for me, they can keep it. So let's talk about that real quick. Do you feel like there's going to be an influx of people going, fuck this Diablo 3 shit?
I kind of do. I feel like this has been the greatest thing. Diablo 3 is somehow, even though it should have been the worst thing to happen to Torchlight 2, it may actually be the greatest thing to happen to Torchlight
2. Yeah, right? Like, who would have saw that coming?
Because it's kind of like, there's a lot of people who play WoW that are always like, Blizzard is something to get mad. Like, I want to play some other MMO. So then they go to whatever the new MMO is for at least a little bit. And there is some, yeah, usually they come back. But with Torchlight, you know, if they can maximize on this and they can kind of offer what Diablo doesn't, yeah, they can really benefit from this. Basically, they just have to not be weird. They have to require you to be online all the time. Not ban people for
not
no
have
reason.
An auction house.
Not have a real money auction house. Stuff like that. So we'll see. What's the scale of Torchlight 2?
Like Diablo 2, I guess.
Yeah, because Torchlight 1 was like Diablo 1 scale, right?
Yeah.
It was like it was basically one big dungeon.
Yeah. I think it is going to be a little more similar to Diablo 2. Multiple areas.
Okay.
He also says, also looking forward to play Mass Effect 3 for the first time. Got it for Father's Day, so excited. I'll have to revisit your spoiler section once I'm done. See, I feel like this is the time to buy Mass Effect 3.
Yeah.
Like, we should have waited, because now the face import bug is gone, the ending's complete.
Honestly, yeah,
he's going to love the shit out of that game.
Just buy all your games 6 months after they come out. Yeah. Maybe Diablo 3 will be fine 6 months from now.
Also, in allusion to a previous comment he left, he was right about the Nexus 7, which was announced, which is Google's new 7-inch tablet. GameStop is pushing the hell out of this thing.
Yeah, that's all.
But yeah, you were right. I still would rather have my iPad.
Yep.
All right. Games, damn it.
You didn't talk about Quantum Conundrum.
Yeah, I forgot, even though I beat it. Yeah, played and beat Quantum Conundrum. It's good.
Yeah. Is it very good?
I feel it's being unfairly put up against Portal because of Kim Swift.
Well, and it's a first-person puzzle game.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Yes, Kim Swift designed Portal, like the game mechanic. She did not write Portal. So I think like a lot of people are dinging the game because it's not as well written or laugh out loud as funny as Portal, which it was never going to be.
Right.
It's still pretty good. You have John DeLancey,
Q from Star Trek,
who's the voice of your uncle, the kind of narrator in the game. And everyone, like, I guess the reason the character doesn't work as well as GLaDOS does is because he should be completely wanting and needing you to succeed. Because he's, like, trapped in some weird void dimension. So it's like, well, why isn't he just telling you what to do?
Nah.
It's kind of the conceit? Your fancy word from a couple weeks ago.
The ludic dissonance?
Yeah, that one.
Ludonarrative
dissonance. Sometimes he actually does kind of help you out. But yeah, I mean, you could have contrived the story to be like, oh, he wants to test you to see if you're worthy of the quadrangular family name or something. Like, they could have gone that direction.
I'm more concerned about how good the puzzles are.
The puzzles now. Yeah, let's talk about the game. Amazing.
Are they good?
The mechanic of the four different dimensions you go through, fluffy dimension, heavy dimension, slow time dimension, and reverse gravity. The way you combine them all is really cool. And there's a bit of a suspension of disbelief. For example, if you stand on a giant rotating fan, you don't blow anywhere. But if you put a fluffy safe on it and stand on that safe, that sends you launching. Where logic would say, well, if it doesn't blow me, why would it blow me on the safe? But whatever. People are complaining about stupid shit with this game.
Right.
The only issue I have with the game is by the time you finally get all four of those abilities unlocked, you're already at the end. Like, you don't get to play with all of them as much as you'd like once you have everything.
Right.
Because at that point, you're kind of a tiny god.
Right.
You could do so much cool shit with it. The other thing is, it kind of lacks that creativity that Portal had. There's very much one solution to every puzzle, and that's kind of it.
Right. Well, Portal is kind of like that. People kind of cheat more than anything for these other solutions.
Exactly. And there's not as much room to do that.
Well, the thing with Portal is that you can use the sort of momentum of falling through multiple portals, if you're really good at it, to cheat through a lot of it.
Yeah.
You can do that.
There's a lot of platforming in this game. But it's not like Metroid Prime first-person platforming, where it kind of knew it was going to be doing that, so it had some systems in place. It's like Half-Life 1 platforming.
Right.
Where it's like, just look down and keep jumping, and you're gonna fall a lot.
It's kind of weird, right?
And the only other thing, my biggest complaint with the game, there's no real final encounter. Yeah. It looks like there's a final encounter. Like, it has all the build-up of, like, here's going to be the final great puzzle of the game. And it's literally nothing.
Really?
It's building, something's about to happen, I'm staying vague, and then it's literally cross this pit and the game's over.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, that was disappointing.
I still want to try this, though.
Yeah, I mean, as far as just playing it, super fun. Definitely worth the $15.
All right.
Theater Rhythm.
We got the Final Fantasy music game, Theater Rhythm, which I love.
Uh-huh.
Because it's basically just... I'll say this, I like that they did this as a 25th anniversary thing. Whereas it's kind of popular to do a bundle of, like, just a bunch of games.
Right.
I'm glad that they kind of did this creative, unique sort of celebration of it all, you know? And it is really cool. What do you think about it?
I think it's great. I have some small problems with it that I'll talk about. But on the whole, it's really fun.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, here's the thing. Drink. You have to like Final Fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't like Final Fantasy, don't go away. This isn't for you. But, yeah, if you have any love for this series... And the other problem is, I guess, it has a little bit of a Sonic Generations problem where if you never play Final Fantasy IX, for example, it's going to not matter. It's going to be like some songs. But if you've played those games and you know where this music comes from and everything, you're
good. Yeah, it's all cool.
Also, you played through Final Fantasy VII in the game, right?
Yeah, I played through all the series.
Were you shocked to hear just how not that great One Winged Angel originally sounded.
Yeah, it's funny.
I think we've gotten so used to hearing orchestrations of all these songs.
It's funny. But, I mean, it's cool because, like, it's the series mode. You play through each series, and there's five songs. Like, the opening song, and then there's always, like, a field event, which is just, like, your character walking kind of, like, through, like, a landscape, and it plays, like, the field music for most of the games.
Uh-huh.
A battle thing, which is, like, it looks like a battle from Final Fantasy, and then there's the event. Or they'll play, like, a cutscene or a montage of scenes if the game is older. And the mechanics are all slightly different, but basically you're tapping, directional swiping and holding down tapping to the melody.
Yeah.
That's basically what's happening. It's cool. It's Elite Beat Agents-like, except without the aiming. It doesn't really matter where you hit
the touch. Accuracy is not so much a thing.
Right. It's more about the timing and the swipes kind of add things. My big problem... It's not that big a problem. It's that when you play through series mode to unlock all the songs, you have to do it on normal difficulty, which is not that challenging. It's not, well...
It's pretty easy.
It's pretty easy. It's nice because, like, it's the first time I hear the songs and it's cool. It's still, like, it's not complete autopilot, but it's very easy.
Yeah. I also feel like they kind of copped out a little bit on the ending and closing themes for each game.
Well, it's just, because they're optional and
it's just pure tapping.
Right. But... When you play it on, like, the harder difficulty, it's much challenging.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't tried the hardest yet. I can only imagine.
I did it for one song.
Yeah, but so it does. It is challenging enough eventually once you get there.
Now, it has this whole mechanic of creating a party and equipping items and abilities. And maybe it matters more as the game does get harder, but it doesn't seem to matter at all.
No.
In fact, there's a bonus if you don't equip anything.
Well, because I think it becomes more important. Like when you play, like, the battles, like, you just play the song and you get to the end, you pass it, but... Depending on how many people you kill, I think you actually get bonuses and items and stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. And it's kind of hard to grasp your head around, like, the RPG elements they've sort of implemented into it. And there's a lot of stuff to unlock, which is fun, like cars and characters and songs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it seems like a very cool package. And I love the style of it. The presentation's great. I love, like, the sort of weird chibi. Not even chibi. It's like paper doll style for the characters.
Yeah.
I almost wish they would make it if I was a game that looked like it, but... If you like Final Fantasy and specifically Final Fantasy music, it's a pretty awesome thing.
Yeah. See, the one thing I really don't like, and there you can turn this off, which I've been turning it down. I think I'm just going to turn it off. The noises it makes on some of the songs are really distracting.
Like
me.
The noises make while you're doing the tapping. Yeah. Like you said, you can turn that off.
They try to harmonize with the music, but they're usually not harmonic. And in one song, this must have been a program.
Yeah, I noticed you too.
The tempo was just off. Like when you do the green hold downs, it'll still like kind of beep in time while you're doing the hold, but the beeps were completely off.
Yeah,
it was hard. Then the other thing I hate when you're doing the event system, the event music systems or stages or whatever, EMSs. Those are the ones where the indicator's kind of moving along a drawn path.
Yeah.
And you're hitting stuff.
Are you complaining that it changes its pace?
It changes its pace without warning. It should just be changing the distance between.
That's kind of neat, though. It's kind of challenging.
No, it's not. That's not challenging. That's the game going, ha-ha! Fooled you!
We always have this debate over what is hard or not. You consider a lot of things to be unfair when they're just hard.
No, that's not hard. That's unfair.
Well, I was able to beat it, so it's not unfair.
I beat it.
Then it's not unfair. You got it.
Oh, because I got, like, I hit that note a little late because I realized what was going on.
Oh, you're fine.
God. I just think that's cheesy.
Wah. But just listen to never mind. Anyways, the game's great. My point is that you said 10 times during this thing, one little thing I hate about this game.
All right, you said it
like 10 times.
I still like the game, okay? That's why.
Right.
We need to try the multiplayer. I don't even know what it is.
Right. Did you talk about Penny Arcade 3 yet last week?
I haven't played it since last week. I just kind of touched the surface, but it's good what I played. I'll talk more about that. I played more Dawn Guard. I like it. You know, it's really great for archers. You can finally craft your own arrows and bolts now.
Oh, that's cool.
You couldn't do that before. I got my crossbow. Doing some dungeons. There's a lot of negative reviews out there for it, and I don't get it. Because I don't know what people were expecting. They're like, it is, you get a crossbow, and you play as a vampire, and you go to some new places, and there's new quests. I don't know, like...
Oh, it's a little expensive for that, maybe.
Well, that's exactly what they said it was going to be.
Fair enough.
I know, people are like, oh, there's no new landmass. It's like, they never said there'd be a new landmass. I mean, you go to some Plains of Oblivion...
I still contend that there's going to be a much bigger expansion coming at some point.
I don't know. This feels pretty good to me. It's kind of in between.
Well, it's not Shivering Isles. Although, they don't really do expansions like Shivering Isles anymore, really,
right.
In general. All right, are you ready for the releases?
Sure.
Secret World for PC. They don't know anything about this.
I don't either.
Theater Rhythm, as we were talking about, came off the 3DS. Dungeon Twister for the PS3. I had no idea. Spelunky came out for 360.
Oh, yeah,
for CyberKay.
I need to try that.
Max Payne 3 Local Justice Map Pack for PS3 and 360.
Oh, man.
A lot of packs and, a lot of DLC. Really, the only real game is Theater Rhythm, which is great.
Oh, there's DLC for that game available, Mike. The first for 3DS.
Let's see. GameSpot Theater Rhythm 7.5. And their only the bad is no online play. How can you have a review system where you say the good and the bad, and then your score is a 7.5, and the only bad thing is something it doesn't have? What do you need online play for?
I wasn't sitting there playing, man. If only.
I mean, I didn't read this review. I'm just...
Yeah.
But still, I bet he's wrong. I'm actually going to be reviewing this tonight, so I don't know what score I'll give it. I can tell you it'll probably be at least an 8. All right. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Bro Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/explodingbase.
Exploding baseball.
That'd be a fun show. Exploding Barrel. Twitter. Facebook.com/Exploding Barrel also. And go to the iTunes Music Store and leave us a review. We greatly appreciate it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Yay.
Bye.